What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back. And Joe, like I said, they're really gearing up for election fraud. Here you go. U.S. Supreme Court orders New York to answer lawsuit about its election interference. The U.S. Supreme Court has ordered the state of New York to answer to charges in a lawsuit filed by the state of Missouri, Joe.
Yep, I know. Missouri's attorney general is one busy guy.
Okay. It's accused of illegally scheming to jail President Donald Trump and the GOP nominee for the 2024 election. Oh boy, it looks like they're gonna get their own. It looks like what's his name, Judge? Oh, senior moment right now. Oh,
Gore. What's his name?
Him, but the other one too. Well, he was the prosecutor, Bragg, yeah.
Oh, yeah, not the judge, yeah. Oh.
And a Missouri Attorney General, Andrew Bailey, who also brought the case, charges that New York is waging war on American democracy, and Missouri will not let it stand.
Stand.
Okay.
Missouri.
Okay. In New York, of course, where multiple prongs of the Democratic Communist Party courtroom oriented lawfare against President Donald Trump developed. The state is accused of an illicit prosecution, a gag order, and sentenced President Trump. You know who I'm trying to think of here. But anyhow, and the state is accused of deliberately undermining his ability to campaign. Such overt actions in the case complaint sabotages Missouri's ability to cast a well-informed vote. So, in this case, apparently the U.S. Supreme Court realizes Missouri has standing, and if Missouri has standing, every other state has too, right?
Right. If Missouri does, all the other 49 do, right?
Yep. A report at Just the News explained Bailey has charged the New York's hush money prosecution of Trump, along with the court's gag orders, damages Missouri's right to hear him speak freely. Missouri's case asked that the Supreme Court determine New York illegally interfered with the election. Trump was found guilty by a jury in the leftist Manhattan Business reported violations in a trial rife with total misbehavior. The persecutor took misdemeanors for which the statute of limitations had expired, claimed they were felonies because they were the furtherance of another unspecified crime. The judge's daughter was fundraising for the Democrats off of her father's courtroom decisions. Despite the appearance of conflict, he refused to exit the case. And you know who I'm thinking? I'm trying to remember his name.
On the blank, I can see his face and everything, and his dumb smile, and I just can't come up with a name.
The prosecution's chief witness was a convicted perjurer. That was Trump's lawyer. World News Daily reported that the case was developed. Bailey explained that we have to fight against a rogue prosecutor who's trying to take presidential candidates. Merchan is his name. It just came to me.
Merchan, yeah.
Off of the, yeah, him and his corrupt daughter, and they were.
He should have been recused from the get-go. If he had any integrity, he should have never taken the case because of all the He's too compromised, but, you know, they have no integrity, so.
Well, he was joined to the hip.
Trump, no matter what.
He was joined to the hip with Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. World News Daily reported the case was developing. Bailey explained, we have to fight back against rogue prosecutor who's trying to take a presidential candidate off the campaign trail. It sabotages Missouri's right to a free and fair election. Okay, I hope they sue that Bragg, Van Mershon, you know, I hope they sue the dickens out of them. Okay, so here it says, the investigation and subsequent prosecution of former President Donald J. Trump appear to have been conducted in coordination with the United States Department of Justice. There you
right.
go.
Missouri has been out there fighting. A lot of the best things that have been happening there come from the Missouri Attorney General's office for the past couple of years.
Here's another case. Nevada. Obama judge tosses GOP lawsuit seeking and ban mail-in ballots. To ban mail-in ballots received 4 days after the election day. Remember that they found, I don't know how many thousands of illegal ballots. An Obama judge has tossed out a lawsuit by the GOP to ban mail-in ballots in Nevada received up to 4 days after election day. In other words, they just keep coming in, right?
And they are trying to cover their CYA. They're so corrupt they can't give an inch or they're going to go down in flames.
Yep.
So they've got to keep battling because what they're now trying to do is save their own jobs and reputations. They've got to keep it covered till after the election, hoping the Democrats win. If the Democrats win, they have cover. If Trump wins, they're in big trouble. So they are going for broke, we call that, right?
Yeah, and they say, well, this covers all mail-ins, but you know what? They find out that about 95% of those ballots that they're talking about were for Democrats. What does that tell you?
Yeah, especially in a race that was that close, that should have been, you know, 51, 49, or 40, you know, either way, within 48, 52, but no, nothing could be that far out and be fair.
They can't do anything without cheating. Let me ask you a question because, you know, race card. You know, if you don't want to vote for Kamala Giggles Harris, then you're a racist. You know that, right?
I mean, yes. In fact, it was Joy Reid there at MSNBC that told us that, you know, Americans of color are going to look real crazy and weird if they don't vote for Kamala in November, you know. It's kind of like you ain't black if you don't vote for Kamala. So if you're black, you must get out there and vote for her, or you're going to get shunned by your own community.
Well, let me ask you a question then, okay. According to the media and Biden, you know, Kamala is a black woman. Are you correct? I mean, how do they know? Because they don't even really know what a woman is, but...
Yeah, they can't define a woman, so I don't know how they define black. She's not really black. She's a mixed-race person, but when you look at her, you would not think she's black.
Okay, so, but she says she is, but then I don't understand because, see, Joe Biden, I heard him with my own words, but I'm not the only one that heard him with my own words because he was heard with a lot of people, He himself said he was a black woman.
That's right. He did one of his speeches. Yeah. Well, I guess it goes along with if somebody thinks they're, a tri-quadruple sexual, then all you have to do is whatever you think you are kind of thing. So I guess if you think you're black, you're black.
Let me read the quote because it was right after. It was just after the debate. He was doing interviews trying to explain why he did so bad, but he said here in the interview, here's what he said on Philadelphia's WURD. He says this, as a black, he says, myself as a black woman, he said, Then he quoted, "I'm proud to be, as I said, the first." Now, here's what he said. Vice president, first black woman to serve with a black president.
Right.
So he said he was, well, he was the vice president, right?
Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
But he black wasn't.
To serve a black female president.
No, no, to, no, no. He said that he was a black woman to serve with a black president. So,
oh, just black president.
Right. Okay. He was a. Right. In other words, Joe Biden referred to himself as the first black female vice president to serve with a black president.
Well, that sounds like a mentally stable person, just ready to lead this country and have the nuclear code controls. Yeah, right. Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, but now you have Kamala giggles, okay. Do you know that she was pro-abortion without any restrictions? I mean, without, you know, she wanted killing babies with no restrictions on abortion at all.
None, right up to the day of birth.
And she, not only that, but she went after pregnancy, you know, clinics, these women who...
Pro-life clinics and maternity homes. She went after everything.
Maternity homes. She went after pro-lifers. She actually had conducted a raid on the leaders of the pro-life movement in their own homes. She is an extremely wicked, unclean woman.
Hey, she's more left than Bernie Sanders. She's more radical than Bernie Sanders is.
And so now her... It's her. It's an interesting thing because they refer to her as Kamala Devi Harris. Kamala Devi Harris. Now that's an interesting thing because there's another woman out there, Devi. Oh, who is it? I just read her article. You know who I'm talking about? The lady that writes those all those articles. Oh, there you go.
There's a Stabenow, Debbie Stabenow.
No. You know who, you would know who I'm talking about in a heartbeat. She's been around for quite a while. But anyhow, she just wrote a big article. In fact, we talked about it about 3 weeks ago. And she goes into, in depth, on how Kamala got, how she rose up through the ranks, okay? How she ended up without ever running for a position, being appointed to positions and things.
Right. She was the DEI hire in a way, and she was their anointed, so she didn't really have to compete or anything. She was the one they just pushed right up the ranks.
Debbie Kidd.
Oh, Devi Kidd. Devi,
yeah.
Devi. Debbie Kidd. No wonder I got confused. Debbie Kidd.
Yeah. Anyhow, yeah, that's who it. She just wrote this big article, and then she has some unusual names for her that article.
Mm.
But
yeah,
and of course, you know, you remember Willie Brown,
and yes,
the whole
Democrat Willie.
And so, here you've got this woman. Unbelievable. Now, let me ask you this, because all they decided that they were going to go ahead and make her, when they come together, there was no, you didn't have any debate on this. So all those Democrats, they virtually got what they were told that that's what they wanted. And they didn't have, they didn't even be able to vote on a primary or anything with her, right?
Right.
So she had no primary.
Opponent, nope.
In fact, I think in the primary you had about 14 million people vote for Joe, for the Democrats voted for Joe, so their votes were taken from them, weren't they?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't quite grab that.
In the primary, they had a primary, remember the Democratic Party?
Mm-hmm.
And 14 million people voted for Joe in the primary.
Oh, yeah, so they just, when they kicked him out, they threatened him out, and then they just basically took all his delegates. So it's not constitutional, it's not right, this whole thing stinks.
And so,
like a political coup, they came in and just took all his delegates, and none of the people in the Democratic Party that voted are going to get a vote on who they want to run instead. The powers that be are just anointing Kamala right now, and if they decide they don't like her, they'll anoint Hillary or somebody else, but they're robbing all of those 14 million people of their vote.
Well, yeah, they've already done it. They've already took those delegates and given them to her, okay?
Right. They've already robbed them.
Yeah, so it's...
They've robbed them of their vote, their right to choose. So the funny thing is you don't hear any of them be angry. You're not hearing any backlash about, wait a minute, you know, that's not right. I'm not hearing that from any of the Democrats.
Well, there are a few that's out there. A few of the big donors actually have come. In fact, I tell you what, Biden, mega donor, I will not fundraise for Kamala, says Joe's. Old Joe's endorsement of her is a, well, he uses the F-bomb U to the Democrats who pushed him
over there.
Yeah, it's happened on the National Ice Cream Day, July 21st. Joe is just my brain Biden, dropped out of the presidential race. A guy named Lyndon Johnson, he goes on. That makes old Joe, the first incumbent president who was not able to run for re-election since Lyndon Johnson 56 years ago. And his surprise announcement. Well, Lyndon was able to run for re-election. He volunteered to pull himself out, right?
Right.
And he saw the handwriting on the wall. Somebody gave him an offer.
Volunteered, but I think he was threatened out, you know.
Yeah, he was. Somebody was going to expose him, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, after his surprise announcement, he also posted an X on X to endorse his vice president, Kamala Harris, to be the Democrats' nominee. While this was followed by support by some party bosses like Bill and Hillary Clinton, some others like Barack Obama called for their process. Now, Obamas have still not endorsed her.
No, they haven't. Clintons have. Bill and Hillary came out saying they endorsed her.
Hillary's up to something. You can bet she's up to something. Remember, we've been telling you for the past year, she's been slithering around and going to see in the deep pockets and within the party. We will be navigating uncharted waters in the days ahead, but I have extraordinary confidence that the leaders of the party will be able to create a process from which an outstanding nominee emerges. Well, anyhow, here you have... Some of these people that are the mega donors have said, nope, they're not going to have any part of that because their votes were stolen from them. And so I'm looking at here. They got this big article. They got their pictures, but they don't have the names of these mega donors.
No, I think some of them were kind of not trying to be well known.
Hmm.
For some reason.
Anyhow.
The backlash. Maybe they didn't want the backlash, but...
Could be. I'm looking, but I thought I saw... Oh, well, anyhow. Yep, they didn't want to... I mean, the Democrats cannot do anything on the up and up. Let's do this. Let's open the phone lines, because we haven't done that in a while. And last night, we had a real packed program, and we had people calling... but we had too much info. So, Style, open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll take some calls. Okay.
Yeah, people should be mad. I mean, here you've got Kamala is going to skip Netanyahu's coming to address Congress. So she's skipping town to do a... woman's thing, not real important. And then the other lady, the pro temp, the Senate President pro temp, Patty Murray, said she refuses to go and will be boycotting the address. So here we have one of our best allies coming over to speak to our Congress and going to be totally ignored by the vice president who is running for president and snubbing Israel. That ought to be good for votes. And then the head Democrats are all going to boycott his address. So this really looks great on the world stage to our allies. It looks wonderful to our enemies. And these Democrats, they will do anything to harm America, to destroy America. It's all about staying in power. It's the only thing they care about whatsoever.
Well, there's a communist group called Jews for Peace. And they went into and they took over Congress. They went in and had a big protest with inside.
Protest there, yeah. Well,
yeah.
It's amazing, communists. You saw what happened with the fascists with the killing the Jews, and then somebody that's Jewish turns around and gonna promote a communist party because it was the communists and the fascists that were fighting for control of Germany. And it happened to be that the Nazis won over the communists, the Socialist Workers Party won over the Communist Party, and yet these so-called, quote, Jews are supporting the very people that would promote their death. It makes no sense at all, but that's the way evil works, right?
Yeah, the apostate Jews have always been the worst historically.
Yeah.
That have turned. Okay, remember, Jesus was a Jew. Mm-hmm. And the apostles, and it was the apostate Jews that always turned on him. But if you know, Hitler was part Jew. And if you look back at Korah, remember out in the wilderness, turned on Moses, right?
Mm-hmm. And look how that didn't turn out for him.
No, things went south for him and the whole family, huh?
Yep. Yeah. But very quickly.
Okay, say that again, Style. Let's go to St. Paul, and we have Mitch. Mitch, you're in the air.
Good evening. Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my phone call. Yesterday, I heard your program a little bit there. You said that you have to kick some people out of your church because there's a group of men there just there for the ladies, I guess.
Oh, there was a couple guys that came in there, and they would hit on the women.
Okay. And I'm not sure if that's a good reason to kick people out of the church. I mean, you could still preach to them. I mean, what if it was the other way around? What if there's a group of girls from a nearby college that just was looking for guys? Would you ask these ladies not to go to church?
Well, with these men, I warned them. I give them warnings. Listen. I've had several women complain to me, and they didn't deny it, okay? And so after I warned them not to do it anymore, I told them, gave them a good warning, if you complete do that, I will show you the door.
Okay, all right, they're harassing them, okay.
All right, the women complain. That's a pretty good reason.
Okay, all right, okay, very well. Then you kick someone out, because he brought some tracks in about the rapture?
They were bringing in false tracks, yeah. They were saying that people believed in rapture or the pre-tribulation rapture. Also, we believed in spaceships and that we had mental problems right in these tracks. So, anyhow.
Okay, well, I mean, but then couldn't you just, instead of kicking them out, couldn't you just, like, have a Bible study upon that topic and just
well yes, believe me, we do that. We have Bible studies daily. We talk, you know, where our positions from listening to the radio program. But you see,
okay,
if you had a situation where they come up and say, well, listen, I don't agree with the pre-trib rapture, whatever, all right, let's talk about it. But when you sneak in and when you counterfeit the very same tracks where the cover is the same and you sneak them in, is not acceptable.
When you go behind somebody's back instead of saying, hey, let's debate this, let's look at the Bible, see what God has to say, that kind of sneakiness is not acceptable.
Okay. So now let me ask you, what have you done that I would disagree with?
Say again? What was the question?
What have you done that I would disagree with?
Well, I know you might share things in the Bible, and you take the verse in some ways, but I'll take it different. Like, let's say John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm sure you believe that 100%, and I believe that verse 100%, except that I might take that verse a little different. You might say that Jesus was God all the time, but I take the verse in such a way as, well, Jesus was God at one time.
Well, now, I think the Bible doesn't stutter. It says, in the beginning, when was the beginning? The beginning was what?
When the earth was made, I presume?
No, the beginning was pre-existence, long before the earth was made. Actually, we existed before the earth did, before the world did.
Yeah, okay.
We existed in the mind of God, Ephesians chapter 1. And so here...
Yeah.
So
you're saying that Jesus existed all this time.
He was pre-existent. Sure. In other words, before there was even a measurement of time itself. Okay. That's what the Bible teaches.
Okay, then my question is Jesus, the Son of God, is he the same age as his father?
I would say the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God at the same time they were together. Yeah, I would have to say yeah.
Okay. So technically, Jesus is, then technically, they're both the same age. The Son and the Father is the same age.
Yeah, I would probably.
One God who has three aspects of his, three parts of him, and they are all pre-existent.
That means that there was. You have to understand something. They existed before time itself existed. So that had nothing to do. You really couldn't measure an age because time did not exist.
Okay.
So
All right. Well, and I also believe in John 3:16, the only begotten Son. So if Jesus is the only begotten Son, that means he's the offspring of God. And if that means if he's the offspring of God, well, then that means there's got to be a mother in the system.
No. And if you look, begotten means coming forth from.
Yeah.
The physical came forth from the spiritual. The spirit.
Right.
Okay.
The physical came forth from the spirit. The spirit was the,
Right. God has no mother.
Different than a sexual thing.
Well, you're saying God has no mother, but, if the Father is male and Jesus is the perfect manifestation of his Father, well, then there's got to be a female in the mix.
No, coming forth from the physical Christ came from the spiritual Father. The Spirit created the physical manifestation.
Okay.
Females didn't come into existence until
the Father and Son.
Eve, right? Male. Eve, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Boy, I hope you learned something tonight.
Well, I'm learning, but I still have a lot of questions. All right. Thank you, folks.
All righty. Thanks for calling. Boy, there you go, Joe.
Yeah, I know.
That was an interesting thing. So you know what we have to do? We have to have Style comment on that, see what he knows. Hey, Style.
Hey, Pastor.
What do you think about all that?
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. Just because it's the term father used doesn't mean there has to be a mother. That's not scripturally accurate.
Right. Well, again, like I said, the woman did not exist until Eve. Okay?
Right.
And they refer to things. This is one of the false teachings that came in back in the early 60s. I remember this. It was I couldn't believe it. I was asking some of the older pastors there back then, what in the world, the German Enlightenment movement came in over here, and it started going into your neo-evangelical, especially these so-called Christian psychologists were picking this stuff up, and they were talking about men having to get in touch with their female parts. In other words, that, you know, we were not just body, soul, and spirit, but we had a couple of genders, you know, male and female within us. In other words, we had within us our male spirit and also a female. And I thought, where in the world did that ever come from? And, cause, you know, I knew I didn't have any female spirit in me at all, okay? And, but that's where some of that strange doctrines came from, which were, you had what they call the neo-evangelical, where a lot of these pastors became very effeminate. They were becoming very effeminate. Not Joe and I, right, Joe?
No way, no how.
Alrighty, there you go. Phone lines are open at 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. We'll be right back after this. That was my dear friend Danny Ray, who went home to be with the Lord, and he didn't run out of tomorrows. He was ready to go.
And now he's singing in a big choir, right?
Yeah, and you know, the rest of the week, that's what the Bible study is going to be about, is making making your salvation sure the rest of the week. Let's go to Dayton and Alan. Alan, you're in the air. Hey, Alan.
Pastor Ernie, thanks. Yeah. Hey, Pastor Ernie, thanks for taking my call this evening, sir. I wanted to just weigh in a little bit on the last caller, and I wanted to add that our pastor, we go to a local Baptist church, and our pastor in our study, we've been studying the book of Genesis lately, and we're in the second and third chapter. And the guy revealed a little bit of the mentality in society and in politics and in the church nowadays. He was asking about you running the guys off that was kind of giving the ladies a hard time. I believe that that we have a responsibility not only as a church but as men to do that. Adam, when Eve was being tempted in the garden, most people think that Adam was away gathering wood or looking for food or doing something else. But we, as we studied, we realized Adam was right there next to Eve the whole time. And he did nothing to say to the serpent, hey, go on. We were told not to eat of the fruit of knowledge. And he didn't do anything to tell Eve, no, don't listen to them. Don't partake of the fruit. We've got rule over everything else here. Leave that alone. And then after she ate the fruit, she handed it to him. He could have thrown it on the ground and still said, nope, I'm not doing this. But he stood by. He did nothing. And as men nowadays, we have a responsibility to protect our home, our churches, and our local government, our neighbors. And so that caller asking that a second ago, like you owed them something to give an extra word. I believe a lot of people get into our churches nowadays just to cause trouble and to make an issue and then try to hold you over a barrel saying, well, you should have been a little more passive. I think that's the exact problem with church nowadays is that we sit on our hands too much and are too passive, worried about the retribution of how Christ-like it is. No, I think we have a responsibility to protect our women, our families, and our church.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
Not weak, right, Pastor?
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, you see that. Look, from Adam, every time a man of God listened to his wife and not God, every time that we saw what happened when Abraham listened to Sarah, okay, instead of listening to God, right, was starting with Adam, you know, but then Abraham, he listened to Sarah and took Hagar, and you saw what that got him into, right?
Yep.
And then
yep.
Job was a very smart man. Job didn't listen to his wife. If he'd, you know, she wanted him to curse God, but God had told him, this is why God had made men the head of the house. And again, the area where the devil always attacks men is the area of pride, but where it attacks women is an area of discernment. And this is why today you've got such a high rate of divorce, and the women are the one that are initiating of divorces today. This is
I believe Genesis chapter 3, verse 12, I think it's where it says, women will be cursed with extra pain in childbearing, but it also goes on to say that they will have disagreement with their husbands and what he wants. And
yep.
Part of that struggle is exactly as you're revealing there. And I thought that you did a great job of kind of fighting off that guy's questions, trying to get you roped up into something. Yeah, men are to be the responsible head of the household. That's the way we answer to God ultimately for those decisions as the head. That's why the head of the church is also to be a man, nothing against women, but it's for this exact passage. And nowadays you have all these women.
Well, if you read in Isaiah chapter 3, I believe it's verse 12, God gives a people, a nation, as a punishment for disobedience. As a punishment, he gives them women and incompetent men as their leaders. For leader, and look at us, you know, we have all of these women governors here in America, and most of them are involved in witchcraft, okay?
Look at the wonderful Kamala.
Yeah, that's a good example. I got to move on because the whole board is lit. But thanks for calling, Alan. Let's go to Michigan. We have Hal in Michigan. Hey, Hal.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I have some news for you.
Go ahead.
In Congress, they're writing up a impeachment for Kamala Harris for her borders, and if they pass it from the Congress, it goes to Senate. Well, they know the Senate's not going to take it, but it's on record.
Yeah, that she got impeached before she even. Yeah, I know that because what she's done, she literally committed treason by not doing her job down there.
Yep, that's what it says there too. So if the Congress passes it, just like Trump when he was acquitted by the Senate, but the Congress impeached him. So
yep.
It'd be the same way here, but they can still use it on the campaign trail about all the things that she did.
Absolutely right. The impeached prosecutor. She was a wicked, wicked prosecutor. She was the one that all of those people that Antifa and Burn, Loot, and Murder, those people that killed, you know, old people would throw them, hit them with bricks and set buildings on fire with people in them. She went to get them out. She moved to using her authority to get them out of, to get back on the street to go out and do some more killing.
Yeah.
She's a very wicked woman.
So if you can look into it, but that's what the Congress is doing.
Well, actually, I got information on that right here. I've got the articles on that. Yeah.
Okay.
But listen, I got to move on because the whole board's lit. But thanks for calling. We got Bob in New Jersey. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Pastor Ernie. Before I get into what I wanted to talk about, what is the number for the office again? It's 440, right?
Right. 440-338-1367. That's 440-338-1367 or 440-338-1036. That's 440-338-1036.
Okay, great. What I wanted to talk about is I clipped out an article from the New York Post in reference to the May 2023 train derailment in Palestine, Ohio. As usual, they're saying nothing has been really moving. They said the cause of the derailment was by a roller bearing that failed due to overheating and also procedures and inadequate staffing for communicating information by the railroad station itself. It said it spilled over 1 million gallons of hazardous materials and pollutants. Now, have you heard about people, have they died from all that stuff?
A lot of people have gotten very sick from that. You've heard they've been all over the news.
I don't think anybody died, but a lot of people have been having some real bad problems.
Thing. Yeah, they lost a lot of animals, from what I understand. And so
we don't hear about it in this area, but...
But I heard, if I remember right, when they said that wheel bearing, that they could see that there were flames shooting out for quite a while the train was riding. And I guess it drove on that way for quite a while before the accident.
And that kind of pertains to the movie a little bit, a year or so before that.
Yeah, there was a movie like that, wasn't it? That had something similar to that, wasn't there?
Yeah, I remember listening to you guys saying that. But anyway, thanks for your time and have a blessed night.
You do the same things, Bob. Let's go to AC. AC, you're in the air.
Hello, Pastor.
Hey.
Hey, hi.
About 2 weeks ago, it was your July 10th show. It was a Wednesday. You had a Messianic Jew on the show for most of the show, okay?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he said you posed to him a statement in the course of the conversation. You said, you know, the Word of God says that they, the Jew, said, his blood be on our heads and on our children. And he responded by saying that that was only a few of the leaders who said that. Well, the truth is, the Word of God openly refutes what he said. Because in Matthew 27, verse 20, it says, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And then in verse 25, It clearly tells us, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. So it wasn't just a few of the leaders, okay?
You're right. I knew that. I knew that. I didn't want to bring him on here and argue with him. We were trying to, what they're trying to do, they're having a big parade out there, a pro-Israel parade to counter the pro the anti-Israel parade out there.
Right. And it was not a good time to bring up stuff and do a debate.
Well, yeah. And
it was ruined what they were trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I wanted them to have as many show up as possible out there, because what they were doing is actually they took a couple of these Jewish girls there and beat them up on the college campuses. And it was like, and you notice something too, you know, not only, you know, when you go back to Isaiah chapter 3 about giving you these women, these wicked women, as all four of those college professors, the presidents of those, were all wicked women, all anti-Israel, all anti-God, anti-Israel women. But they didn't do anything when those girls got beat up.
No.
And so
they didn't protect. They were sure weren't feminists, because they didn't defend women, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, they were Jews.
They call it the hypocrisy. They, you know, only when it suits their narrative.
Yeah. Well, it's because they were Jews is why they went after them.
Right. That's what I mean. That doesn't fit their narrative. They hate Jews.
Yeah. But you're right on, AC. What you said is true. I just didn't. You know, there was a time and a place, and, you know, I was going to discuss that with him off the air. But
he had said, well, this anti-Semitism has hindered Jewish evangelism. It's hindered Jews from coming to Christ. But the problem, pastors, is that what's hindering Jews from coming to Christ is they've been told by their rabbis that the body of Jesus was stolen from the tomb. That's what's hindering them. And we talked about this before.
Yeah.
It's going to take the tribulation period for the Jews to get saved. I mean, there's going to be some that get saved now, yes. But it's going to take a tribulation period.
Yeah, well, Zechariah chapter 14 tells you very clearly, chapter 13, starting with verse 8, that, yeah, and there's going to be one-third will come through that, and two-thirds will perish. So, and, you know, and like Jesus said, many are called, but few will enter. And, you know, you're right, it's right on. We know that because it's pre-recorded, huh?
It's pre-recorded, exactly. I like that.
Yep. So we have this here, God's Word, which is, you can't be broken, okay? And we have this as our foundation, what we, is our authority. We have this as the ultimate authority. So people still don't realize it, though, do they? I mean, they just don't get it. You have 6,000 years of history here, recorded history, what has happened and what would happen, recorded, and what is 4,000 years in advance. It's come down absolutely perfect, you know. Over 1,800 prophecies have been fulfilled, exactly when, exactly where, exactly how. And yet we understand that, but the vast majority of the people in this world are clueless, aren't they?
Well, that's because part of that's because of the modern Bible translation. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we hold to the King James Bible. God didn't give us 200 different versions, did he?
No.
Hey,
no.
Hey, you know what? Since I have you here, would you like to give an invitation? You've got 5 minutes to do that.
5 minutes?
Yep.
Okay. You want to take another call, or you want me?
We don't have time. If we take another call, we won't have 5 minutes.
Right. Okay. Tell me when to get started.
Well, unless you could do it on 2 minutes, we have one guy on the line. Do we still have Joe on the line?
Yeah.
Okay, let's take Joe for 1 minute. Joe, you're in the air. Hey, Joe. B.A. Joe.
Hi.
Joe, you have to hurry.
Not to backtrack too much, but did you say earlier that the shooter, Brooks' kid, was in contact with the FBI before July 13th?
He was in contact with,
someone. They didn't give out the name. Someone who was going back and forth, seeing him at work, at home, and were in Washington. So they haven't, Heritage hasn't let out who it is yet. They won't even tell the FBI or the Secret Service because they are worried. So keeping it secret.
Yeah. Joe, I have to go, but thanks for calling. Listen, go ahead, AC. You got about 3 minutes.
Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you in the blood name of Jesus. And God, I thank you and praise you for this opportunity to share an invitation to the listening audience. And God, I pray especially that the listeners out there would be ready, would be thinking about the pre-tribulation rapture. This is the rapture that Jesus taught. He didn't teach a post-tribulation rapture, a mid-tribulation rapture, or a pre-wrath rapture. And God, there's teaching that is being ignored, and there's Bible translations that have changed the words of Jesus. And Jesus gave us a promise. He said his words would not pass away. And those words have been preserved in the 1611 authorized King James Version. And God, I pray that this radio show would make people think about these things and compare the versions, that people would seek your will on which version to use, that they would get the understanding of the pre-tribulation rapture, and that they would realize what it's going to be like when the rapture takes place. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and it's not a good place to be. And you're offering us a way of escape like you offered Noah in his day, and there's only so much time to get ready. We don't know when the day or hour is.
1 minute, AC. You've got 1 minute. Go ahead.
God, you said it. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. And we are seeing now with the events in the last 10 days that the thoughts of people's hearts are evil continually, just like it was in the days of Noah. So, God, I just pray that the listening audience would realize the hour that we're in. We are very close to the second coming of Jesus in the pre-tribulation rapture.
Amen. All righty. Well, folks, again, it's appointed all men once to die, and then the judgment. And I got a good feeling that all of you listening out there, including myself, are going to die someday. And it's not a tragedy to die. Everybody's going to die. To die in your sin, it's a huge tragedy. It just doesn't get any worse than that. So call upon the name of the Lord and
be born again.
Amen. Do it. Do it tonight. Don't run out of tomorrows tonight like so many will. Well, we're at that time every night where we say good night. Okay. We say thanks for listening and God bless. And then we always say, and ready? And always, 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 and always. I do mean always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.